Gimel Mal Cheshvan, Monday the 23rd of October, Rabbi Rashi Simon, Noach and Avraham, contingent versus unconditional love.
Thank you very much, and good morning to everyone.
Good morning, good morning.
It was pointed out to me that it's been just over a year since I was last here.
Wow.
Time flies when you're having fun, you see. I'm sorry to spoil the good record, but anyway, here we are. Our subject today is Noach and Avraham. And although, of course, we've moved on from Noach already, but there is a fascinating contrast between the way the Torah introduces these two important personalities. Of course, last week's parsha begins, Eile told us Noach. Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'dorosav es ha'elokim hisalech Noach, as is very well known. In fact, Noach was already introduced at the beginning of the previous parsha, when it says that the Torah describes the degeneracy of mankind, describes the downfall of the generations, and the Torah says that when Noach was born, they said, Zayin Achameinu, this one will provide us relief. And it says that the Hashem, so to speak, was questioning or reconsidering the whole enterprise of creating mankind. The whole thing may have been a mistake. But Noach found favor. That's the end of Bereshis. The end of Parshas Bereshis. When Noach begins, we learn more about the fine, laudable qualities of this man. Tzadik, Tamim, it's fantastic. And therefore, it doesn't surprise us when Hashem appears to Noach and he tells him, I found you to be righteous. And we are not surprised because the Torah has already provided the context for such an approach. The fact that Hashem speaks to Noach does not come as a surprise in view of the background which has been provided. I tell you all of this to contrast the situation with Avraham. When the Torah says, and we were introduced to him already in last week's parsha as well, but at the end of Parshas Noach, we only learn of the birth of Avram. We learn of the fact that there's someone called Sarai, who is actually a relative as well, in addition to being his wife. And we read that she was barren. We read a bit about that Terach and Avram set out with Lot as well. We don't hear any words of praise. In fact, the Torah doesn't associate any significance yet to these people. And now in our parasha, V'yomah Hashem al Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha, etc. And the Mefarshim wonder, why did Hashem even say to Avram, lech lecha? Of course, later on, we discover the greatness of Avram Avinu, and I'm not here to take anything away from him. I'm only observing the contrast that the Torah doesn't explain why Hashem says to Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha, and I will make you great, v'gad l'shemecha, and all of those things. Why does Hashem tell him that? And this observation is not my own. It's already found in Ramban. Ramban says, Hine zos ha'parsha lo bi'ara kol ha'inyan. What is the reason that Hashem says to him, leave your land, and when you do, then I will do good things for you. I will provide, I will bestow upon you a destiny and a greatness that has not been done for anyone previously. Mibli shiyakdim shahaya Avraham oved Elokim, o tzadik tamim, without saying previously, without already setting the context, that Avram was a special person. He was a servant of God. Tzadik Tamim doesn't say anything about that. Nor does the Torah give a reason why he should leave his homeland and his father's house. Of course, Rashi says, because here, nothing is going to become of you. Here in Haran, here in Mesopotamia, your destiny lies in another land. But Hashem doesn't say, tell him why. The Torah doesn't explain why. And Umin had Hakosuv Lamar, then Ramban strengthens the matter by saying that the norm is that the Torah says, Lomar Hishalech Lefanai. V'tishma b'koli v'eti v'aymach. You find that later on, Hashem says, Hisalech lefanai, go before me v'eti v'aymach, and then I will do good for you. And this, Ramban shows, of course, is the norm. Kasher b'David uv Shlomo, we find a similar thing. Where Hashem charges them, so to speak, live up to your potential, do the things of which you are capable, be an exemplar to your peers and to the generations, and then I will do good things for you. Which is the norm. And he says, actually, that's called a Torah Kula. Im chukosai telechu, im shamoa tishma, b'kol Hashem alokecha. Uvi Yitzchak amar bavur Abraham Avdien, even in the case of Yitzchak, Hashem says, I'm going to do good things for you, bavur Abraham Avdien, because you are the son of Abraham, and Abraham was my servant. In other words, there has to be a causality. This is logical, and this is b'chala Torah kula. In chukusai telechu, if you walk in my statutes, then you'll have rain in the proper season, etc. It's most remarkable, and because we're so familiar with it, it's easy to overlook. The fact that here Hashem appears to Abraham, promises him great things. Of course, it was not an easy ride, as we know. Vayirav ba'aretz, the problems began right away. But nevertheless, the blessing and the assurance was given to Abraham here at the beginning of our parsha without any reason why, without any justification, without any background, without prior knowledge, without revealing to us previously the greatness of Avraham Avinu. But to promise Avraham great things because he leaves his homeland, well, why? Ain't go tam. Ramban says it. I think it's a good question. The interesting thing is that Ramban doesn't really give that much of an answer. I'll tell you what he says. So the reason he needed to leave his homeland, and the reason that Hashem favored Abraham and gave him the blessing and the assurance and the promise was, as we know, that in Ur Kasdim they mistreated him because of his belief in God. V'hu barach mehem, and he fled from there. This is the very well-known medrash about Nimrod, Amar Pol, Amraphael. He told him, Abraham, if you are refusing to conform to the norm of paganism, polytheism, which is the only way to go in our part of the world, in fact in the entire world at that time, if you stand up for some unseen and unknown God who you maintain created all of the whole world and controls the whole world and controls all the other gods, well, if you will not renounce that doctrine, then, you know, I'm going to throw you into the furnace, again, as we very well know. However, my friends, this is not mentioned in the Torah at all. It's only hinted to in that enigmatic phrase, Ur Kasdim, Ur of the Chaldees. I think Paul McCartney made a song about it even. This is the only reference, Ur Kasdim, that is the only remez for which the Medrash derives an entire backstory. Now, I'm not saying that the Midrashic tradition is subject to question. It may be subject to interpretation, but that's not my point. I'm just observing, which Ramban himself says, the Torah doesn't say it. The Torah doesn't say it outright. So Ramban says that the background here is that in his homeland he was persecuted, and his greatness was already demonstrated, his preparedness to give up his life for the teachings of Hashem. So this is why Hashem favored him. Amar lo lazav gam ilu v'lazos kasher chasham mitchila shiti avodaso lo ukriyas b'nei ha'adam l'shem Hashem be'aretz hanivcheres. If when you call to hear an Ur Kasdim, nobody is listening to you. You're not getting any traction. All you're getting is bizoyness and threats of death and a near-death experience. So therefore, I'm telling you, your destiny, your greatness awaits you in a different land. Be'aretz hanivcheres. There, v'yikra b'shem Hashem, and people will come and they will respond, and they will respect you, they will admire you. We'll be here in 2 weeks' time. You are a prince of God in our midst. So we see that in Canaan, Abraham was able to make a much better impact. This is the logic of it, says Ramban. But what he doesn't explain, and he himself acknowledges it, is that this is not mentioned in the Torah itself. And Ramban says, The reason is the Torah doesn't want to dwell on the pagan views of Nimrod and his cohorts, of Terach and his friends. The Torah doesn't want to elaborate upon the perversity and upon the degeneracy of the idolaters. The Torah doesn't want to dwell upon it. And the Ramban gives an example. Kasher katzra b'inyan dor enosh. Which Rashi says, Lashon Chulin, Dor Enosh already was the beginning of the downfall of the generations. That was the beginning of the descent, which ended in the catastrophe of the Mabul. And we have a further 10 generations, as we know, of decline after that, as well as the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos. So, but the Torah doesn't elaborate on what happened in Dor Enosh. So therefore, says Ramban, that's why. I'm not coming to say that the Ramban's question is better than his answer, but if you had that feeling, then I would agree with you. Because his question is a compelling one, and he just says the Torah doesn't want to dwell on it, and that's why we don't have that. But Maharal says something very beautiful, and that's really what I've come here this morning to share with you. And I had a certain exchange with the powers that be here at the Torah Wake regarding the exact title for our talk today. And
Go on,
move on from there. So,
I'll
tell you what it was. It will be on the record, though, that's the thing. Maybe after the record. So, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Kol ahavashi tluya b'davar batel davar batla ahava. Any love that is dependent on a specific cause, when the cause is gone, the love is gone. But, ahava shein tluya b'davar, but a love which is unconditional will endure. Now, at first blush, this turn of phrase, love which is dependent, love which is unconditional, it sounds very, I don't want to use the word romantic, but it sounds very eloquent. But when you think about it, it does have the whiff of a hollow platitude. What is love that is not dependent on anything? Well, love has to have some basis. A person does not love without some reason. Even we could say sinas chinam. Even the expression sinas chinam also is a bit of a strange expression. It's not hatred which is baseless, which is causative. There must be some reason. A person doesn't open up the phone book in the days when they used to have phone books and go through the page. This person I hate. Go through another 100 pages. Put your finger. This person I hate as well. Why? It's ridiculous. Even sinas chinam, there must be some reason. Of course, the expression means that sinas chinam, there's no valid reason for the hatred. Or hatred has a toxicity of its own, and it can sweep away, you know, the one who hates and the one who is hated, and everyone is caught up in it. That's what Chazal mean, presumably. Here as well, what is the idea of ava she'ena tluya badava? It must be tolui in something. What is the reason for the love? So the Maharal says as follows. Maharal interprets or applies this principle to our question of Abraham and Noah. In the case of, and I'll just read you a few lines of the Maharal on Pirkei Avos. Ke'ahava she'ena tliya b'davar ena b'tela la'olam. It will endure forever. Balahodia tikvas uvitochon Yisrael begalus. This is a great reassurance to the Jewish people in their exile. She'iyev shar shetiyah ha'ahava b'teila la'olam. Hashem's love for the Jewish people is enduring. It lasts. It is not dependent. It is not subject to an expiration date. And he says, this is why the Torah says about Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha, without, V'lo yizkir adayin malas Avraham v'tzidkaso, hu davar chaser. Doesn't make sense. Why does Hashem give Avraham this blessing, this assurance, this promise, without explaining why, without providing any basis for the greatness of Avraham? So Maharal tells us why. We don't know anything about him. V'hinei tir'ed ki nigla hadavar lenoach, nigla hadibur lenoach v'kosev lifnei zeh, noach matzachem b'nei Hashem, v'achach v'kosev shenigla elav hadibur. Says the Maharal, the difference here is profound and very important. Let's think about the career of Noach. Noach matzachem, esalekim yisalech Noach, ish tzadik, tamim haya bedorosav. That was as far as the Torah describes him up to that point. And therefore, he was the man who saved the generation. He was the one who saved the human race, although his whole generation perished. But he survived with all the animals, and from Noah, the rest of mankind emerged subsequently. The problem is, as we very well know, that after the trauma, and after the heroism, and after the 15 minutes of fame, which extended for more than 15 minutes, but after he rose to the challenge and he was the one who demonstrated his fealty and his probity in the face of all the degeneracy of the time, unfortunately he himself broke down, as the Torah itself describes. But I don't have it here in my notes, but I have it anyway. The Torah describes how, of course, He became Noach Ish Adama. He became a man of the earth, and as the Meshech Chachma says in another place, he began his career as Ish Tzadik, but he ended his career as Ish Adama, a man of the earth. He fell to earth, sadly and badly. He drank the wine. He became intoxicated. He became degraded and debased, and unfortunately, in that sense, the career of Noach was blighted at the end. What happened to the love of Hashem for Noach? The answer is, in a certain sense, in a logical sense, it was a bit tluya b'davar. It was tluya in the righteousness of Noach. But when Noach was no longer righteous, and again, I don't want to pour scorn upon him, you know, he was traumatized by the experience, etc., and I mean, it goes without saying that who knows how anyone else would respond to such circumstances. That's not my point. I'm just observing that when Noach became Ish Adama, unfortunately he suffered the consequences. Hashem did not intervene to protect him from the forces around him or the forces within him. And therefore he had an unhappy end in that regard. Excuse me?
Wouldn't listen to his wife and protect himself.
Yeah, okay, that's true. It could be, yeah. And that's the way of the world, and that is logic. Says the Maharal, the Torah is telling us here about Avraham, the love of Hashem for Avraham transcends the logic. It's Ahava She'ena Tluya B'davar. Of course there's a reason for it, as the Ramban says about Ur Kasdim, and as the Torah itself says in great detail, in vivid detail, the greatness of Avraham Avinu. The Torah describes it later. But the Torah presents Avraham to us as a person who is the beneficiary of divine love and affection and blessing without even telling us of the greatness of Avraham. So it should be Ahava She'ena Tluya B'davar. Maharal says, V'hine tireh ki nigla hadibur lenoach v'kosev alav v'etzal Avraham sh'ayah efshar l'saper alav tzikos habay. The Torah could have told us a lot about the greatness of Avraham. Lama l'kosev l'nezit tzikoso? And he says the answer is that the Torah is telling us that this is Ahava She'ena Tluya B'davar. This is the comment of Maharal on that Mishnah in Perkei Avos about Ahava She'ena Tluya B'davar. This is Lessons in Love, which is the title that you didn't get for today's shiur. Ve'im kosav tchilat sikos Avraham haya ola al das Adam shevishvot sikos Avraham b'charbo. If the Torah had previously told us of the greatness of Avraham, we would have imagined that's why Hashem loved him. Uvizaro acharav. Okay, for Avraham, he doesn't have a problem because Avraham was righteous from beginning to end. And the love of Hashem for Avraham himself, of course, even if it's dependent on his righteousness, there's no problem. He's righteous throughout. Hey, but what about his descendants? What about the descendants of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? What about Klal Yisrael? Is every member of Klal Yisrael righteous from beginning to end? Not exactly. Yeah, I hope so. I also hope so, but I'm not sure whether it's the case. But says Maharal, about Atabet now, because the Torah presents the love of Hashem for Abraham without explaining the Tluya B'davar. Aval Atah Shelo Higdim Lamar Tzikus Abraham. So therefore the Ahava of Hashem for the descendants of Abraham is inviolate and is not dependent and is enduring. And this is what the Maharal says about the difference between Abraham and Noah, and the reason that the Torah doesn't explain the greatness of Abraham, where in the case of Noah, of course it does. Because when Noah is no longer worthy, then Hashem's protection for Noah elapses, which is logical. But in the case of Abraham, and this is why we invoke the merit of Abraham Avinu. That's why in our tefillah we say, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, U'b'chach Chosmin, and the bracha concludes, Baruch Atah Hashem again, Abraham. Because Abraham, more than the other avos, is the embodiment of the love of Hashem. He's the one who loves Hashem, he's the one whom Hashem loves him, and the love of Hashem for Abraham and his descendants is unconditional. And this explains, of course, the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, which has great implications for my line of work in the Kiruv field. Yisrael afal pi shechata, Yisrael hu. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, of course it's about Achan, that a Jew who sins, he's still a Yid. Yes. However grievous the transgression is, there's what we like to call the pintle Yid, which can always be fanned, which can always be inspired. The potential, it's not always successful, but the potential is always there. The capacity, the greatness is latent within every Jew, and this is the Ahava She'ein Etzliya B'davar, the love of Hashem for every person. There's also the Gemara in Kiddushin, where the Gemara records the really Machlokes. Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Vav, so it records a Machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bizman, when you act as children to the Ribono Shel Olam, atem kurim banim, then you're called banim. But if not, then you lose the moniker, you lose the designation. That's Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara goes on to say, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Meir, ben kach u ben kach atem kurim banim. And it seems the Gemara apparently favors the view of Rabbi Meir. Certainly, it's the more satisfying view, in the sense that it's the more reassuring view, and I think that is the view that we would certainly want to take. Ben kachu ben tachatem kruyim banim. The potential for return, the potential for accessing the legacy of Abraham Avinu, the devotion of Abraham Avinu to Hashem, and the mutual love exists within every descendant of Abraham Avinu. In this sense, it's Eina Tuliya B'Davar. So this is what I would like to share with you this morning. And again, Maharal quotes Ramban as well and suggests an explanation which I would say takes us beyond the somewhat oblique response of Ramban and takes us into the beautiful territory of the love that Hashem has for every Jew, and the capacity for Klal Yisrael always, and every member of Klal Yisrael, to restore and to rebuild and to recover that relationship of with Hashem that was exemplified by Avraham Avinu, Zera Avraham O'Avi. Thank you very much.